There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Hot Week podcast. I'm Hot Week editor Matt Appleby, and today I'm with Chrysanthemums Direct's Martin Flint. So welcome, Martin.
Hello, Matt. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on because I see you, seen you around for many years at the shows and even before you were at Chrysanthemums Direct at Ingwersen. And it's always great to bump into you and find out what's going on. In the nearish future, I might not be seeing quite so much of you. So what's happening?
So I've been doing flower shows for the last 36 years, 12 years now with Chrysanthemums Direct, and the years before that, 24 years with Ingwersen's, the Alpine Nursery. And I've kind of come to that time in life where it's time to kind of hang up the travelling equipment and go into retirement. I've been sort of semi-retired for the last couple of years, just doing the flower shows for Chrysanthemums Direct and then running the office in the background through the winter for them. But yeah, I've got to the point where, much as I've enjoyed it over the years, there comes a time when perhaps there's other things to be doing. And obviously COVID kind of taught us that there was a life out of dashing around the floats of the show circuit.
Well, you certainly make a living dashing around the show circuit more than everyone else. I mean, in your heyday, how many plant shows were you doing a year?
With Ingwersen's, the most events I did in one year was, it was about 42 or 43, something like that. So that ranged from Chelsea Flower Show down to sort of one-day plant sales. So, yeah, full 40, 42, 43 events between the beginning of April and the end of September, so in 6 months. So that was fairly intense in those days.
That's definitely a record. But things have calmed down a little bit in recent years. How many do you do at the moment?
So the last couple of years, the last year before COVID, so 2019, I did 24. So that was kind of one a week through the season. Now we're down to just six.
And how have these shows changed over the years? I mean, they've changed quite rapidly in recent years, I think.
They have, yeah. I mean, we keep saying sort of pre and post COVID, but COVID really was the thing that kind of sorted shows out. They were beginning to lose their shine a little bit in the years before COVID. But COVID, when everything was locked down and we couldn't go to flower shows and people had to find other ways of buying things, so doing it online, really made a lot of exhibitors think, do we need to be going to shows, much the same as we did? And also, it kind of put paid to a lot of shows. You know, a lot of shows didn't survive the break from COVID. and have not come back as strong. I think the public still enjoy going to a show and still enjoy seeing stuff in the flesh and talking to the growers and the nurserymen who are there. But things have kind of changed in the way the public are much more happy to buy things online these days, it seems.
No, indeed, that is a big change over COVID, that people have gone online. But this year's shows seem to me to have been pretty buoyant.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the half a dozen shows we do, which kind of are the big RHS shows, and we also do Harrogate Spring Show, are the ones that actually kind of make us the money when we really stopped down and looked at it. The other 18 shows we were doing in the year before COVID, we were taking money, but when you truly worked it out, we weren't actually making money. And this, you know, a lot of people found this, and this is why there's not so many exhibitors at shows. All the shows are struggling to, you know, to fill themselves and find exhibitors these days.
Can you describe a typical kind of show for you, like the travel, where you stay, what you do?
Well, going back to the good old days, myself and virtually everybody else on the show circuit either slept in their van around the back of the marquee or had a caravan, again, around the back of the marquee, and everybody kind of stayed on site. We were a little community that travelled around the shows, and it was very different to now. Now, with the bigger shows, I tend to stay in a hotel because I'm not doing so many. The van is not kitted out like it was for sleeping in and cooking in and so on. So the experience is very different now. And you go to somewhere like Malvern, where virtually everybody would have been sleeping in their van around the back of the marquee. I think this year there were about four people out of the 50-odd in the marquee who were actually doing that. So things have changed dramatically in that sense.
No, well, there's been other improvements too. I mean, for instance, at Chelsea, you can now sell plants, and the sort of conditions are better. Do they look after you better now?
Yes, I think certainly at Chelsea, the realisation was beginning to set in with the RHS that they were going to need to introduce selling to kind of keep the nurseries there. It's quite a costly show to do, Chelsea. Obviously, you're in the middle of London for 10 days or so on, staying in a hotel, eating food and so on. So we need to have something to sort of compensate for that. And people, when they come to the show, especially somewhere like Chelsea, they see what they want to buy it and take it away with them. So having a decent sized sales area, which we had this year for the first time, and also most importantly, good storage space so we could store plenty of stock, has certainly made a huge difference to Chelsea.
Going back a few years, I remember going to see you at Ingwersen. More than 10 years ago, 15 more years, maybe more. And yep. I remember the terracotta pots there and yep. the setup there. I mean, yep. What was it like in those days?
Ingwersen's was very much a small specialist nursery. It was run by the Ingwersen family, by Paul in latter years, really as a hobby and as a way of life. It didn't necessarily need to make much money. As long as we covered our costs and wages and expenses through the years, that was about all that Paul was really interested in doing. He was much more interested in the plants and that side of it and the growing side of it. It was a very different experience. It was a lovely nursery to work at in a beautiful setting out in the Sussex countryside. And I really enjoyed my years there. It was a place like no other, really. There's not many nurseries left like that now.
No, I do remember visiting and think this is a bit of an end of an era. But yeah. Chrysanthemums Direct is a much more commercial operation. Can you tell us how that all works?
Yeah, so Chrysanthemums Direct is the retail side of RF Lawrence and Sons. They've been growing chrysanthemums and other cut flowers since 1958. So it's a husband and wife, and now their two sons who run the business. So it's a family business. They've concentrated on growing chrysanthemums since the late 1970s. And now we're pretty well the only chrysanthemum grower left in the UK, certainly growing on a large scale. And we concentrate on the large incurves, disbud chrysanthemum blooms, which we grow and have as cut flower from early May right up until Christmas. We cut about 1.25 million a year, most of those going to the supermarkets. And a few years ago, they decided they wanted to kind of diversify and do something different. Colleague on the show circuit knew that I was going to be losing my job at Ingwersons because that was coming to an end. He put us in touch, and so I set up Chrysanthemums Direct for the Lawrences. And we sell young chrysanthemum plants now directly to the public, and we've kind of established ourselves as the largest seller of chrysanthemum plants to the UK public. We've got about just over 450 varieties in our catalogue now.
Why are those plants so good? Why do the public love them so much?
I think chrysanthemums are something that have kind of gone in and out of favour over the years. But I think people are coming to realise now that they're good value plants. They produce flower later on in the year, sort of September onwards, when there's not too many other things in flower. And they have had maybe a reputation of being difficult to grow. But I think people are realizing that they're actually not that difficult to grow once you get them going out in the garden. All right, if you want to grow them to exhibition standard, that's a different story. But just to grow them out in the garden as a cut flower or for garden decoration later on in the year, they're really not difficult to grow at all.
What sort of new varieties have you got coming up?
There aren't very many people breeding new chrysanthemum varieties these days, to be fair. We work quite closely with the National Chrysanthemum Society, and they've got three or four breeders who put out new exhibition varieties every year. We work with a couple of those and kind of introduce them to the NCS members, but also to a wider public as well. One thing that has become more popular over the last few years are what's called Korean chrysanthemums. So they're the kind of old-fashioned cottage garden plants that many older people remember growing in gardens as a child. And they're pretty tough and easy to grow. Smaller flowers, not so good as cut flower really, but good as garden decoration and nice and hardy in the garden.
What's the supermarket market like now?
We have a bit of a niche, as I say, growing the disbud bloom chrysanthemums. There's nobody else in the UK doing it on the scale that we do. And they are grown abroad, but not quite the same or the same sort of quality as the ones that we produce. So they're quite buoyant with the supermarkets at the moment. We have quite a good market with them. We used to grow the sprays, the sort of all year round sprays, which a lot of people kind of look on as garage forecourt flowers. But we really couldn't compete with the Dutch and the Colombians on those. So we stopped growing those many years ago.
Do you think chrysanthemums are in fashion at the moment, or are they coming back in or going out or what?
I think they, as I say, they have come and gone in fashion over the years. But I think at the moment they're kind of on the up, along with dahlias. People often think of chrysanthemums and dahlias in the same breath. Dahlias, of course, very popular at the moment. And I think chrysanthemums at the moment are becoming the same.
Are you seeing any cost price pressures at the moment, like everyone else?
Yes, obviously. Everything is going up. We have 6 acres of glass on the nursery, which they need to heat, which obviously costs quite a lot of money. It's difficult to squeeze, a couple of more pence per stem out of the people we supply to. We do everything in house, so we don't bring anything in from outside. We have all our own stock on site, so that kind of helps with costs. But yeah, everything is going up. From the Chrysanthemums Direct side, packaging, postage costs are all going up.
What do you think the future of that mail order market is? Do you think it's kind of finding its level now, or is it still going up or going to go down or what?
I mean, obviously, going back to COVID year, mail order just went through the roof. It has settled back since 2020, but it's settled back to a level above pre-COVID. So we're still seeing quite good buoyant mail order sales. And I think that's probably going to continue, especially for people like ourselves. You know, you can't go to a garden centre and buy the sort of thing that we sell. So if people want them, they come to us in mail order.
That's good news. And what about the future of flower shows? Do you see, you know, them continuing in the way they are, or are they going to have to change? What's going to happen?
I think flower shows are changing. They have been changing over the last few years, and I think they're going to continue to change. I think the big shows like Hampton Court, Tatton Park, are going to be the ones that are going to suffer. I would like to see personally the smaller, the county flower shows, the agricultural shows, getting their flower tents back. And there is a bit of movement in that direction. The Bath and West show, there's somebody on the flower show circuit who's been working really hard to get that flower show back on its feet, having almost died for a couple of years. And that's been really successful. Just a few exhibitors, about a dozen or 15 exhibitors, but the public are coming along and supporting it. And I think maybe the smaller shows are the way that that flower shows are going to go. I don't think they're going to survive in the way that they are.
Do you think the RHS might shift more of its big shows into its gardens?
There are all sorts of rumours going around as to what the RHS are going to do. But I think possibly, yes. I think they've got a flower show at all of the gardens now, apart from Bridgemere. But I think that will come eventually as well. And I think, yeah, maybe that is the way that they're going to go.
No, there's certainly rumours about a new show at Bridgewater, but we'll see. We'll watch this space. So how much are you going to miss this lifestyle?
I think I will probably miss the people more than the hard work. As I say, I've been doing it 36 years now, and I've loved every minute of it. It's just that there comes to a time when you need to be doing something else. So yeah, I will miss it. I'll miss the camaraderie and meeting other exhibitors and meeting the public. We have a lot of members of the public who seem to spend all their life going around flower shows in the summer, and they turn up here, there and everywhere. So I'll miss the people, but I perhaps won't miss all the time away from home and the travelling.
Might we see the odd guest appearance?
There are one or two other exhibitors who have made noises that they might offer me a day's work somewhere. So yeah, I dare say I'll pop up somewhere.
I hope so. I really do hope so. But what are your plans then? What are you going to do in your sort of retirement?
Well, I'm going to look after my garden a bit better, perhaps, than it has been looked after over the years. Do a bit more veg growing, which I've started to do the last couple of years. I walk a lot. I do a lot of running and a bit of cycling, so I shall carry on doing that sort of thing and just watching the world go by.
Brilliant. What sort of running do you do?
I do all sorts of things. I prefer trail running, so I've done a couple of marathons, but I prefer sort of longer ultra distances on trails off country. Living in Sussex, where I do, we've got the South Downs, which are great fun for running along.
So when you run along, do you look at the plants and do you think about plants and horticulture?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm always conscious of what's going on around me. I'm quite interested in nature and wildlife as well. So you're always listening out for whatever birds you can hear in the hedgerows or flying overhead. And down on the downs, you hear a lot of skylarks and all sorts of other things, and buzzards, and increasingly red kites turning up in one or two places now. So yeah, I'm always on the lookout for nature and wildlife.
Sounds idyllic. Well, thanks very much for all that, Martin. Well, it's been great seeing you around the shows for all these years. I do hope I see you again in the future. But at the end of a Hawk Week podcast, we always ask, what is your favourite plant? What plant would you take to a desert island? Is there anything which you couldn't be without?
Well, I suppose, given what I do, I would probably say chrysanthemums. But actually, I would go back, I think, to my Ingwersen's days, and a favourite little plant that we used to grow and sell hundreds of through the year is something called Rhodohypoxis. It's a little bulbous plant from the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa, mostly in whites, reds and pinks. Only grows 3 or 4 inches high, flowers all through the summer, reasonably hardy as long as you give it good drainage. And I've got a few of them dotted around in the garden, and I think Rhodohypoxis would be my one of my favourite plants.
Excellent, that's a good choice, and hopefully you'll be able to look after them even better in the future. So once again, thanks very much to Martin Flint from Chrysanthemums Direct. I'm Hawk Week editor Matthew Appleby, and this has been the Hawk Week podcast. So make sure you never miss a Hawk Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hawk Week podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. Once again, thanks to Martin Flint from Chrysanthemums Direct, and see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.